Today on Real Life Radio.
There should not be any sort of regulation that dictates your worship. You see, my friend, worship is spontaneous. It is creative. God has made you and I the most creative things on the planet. And that creativity should be expressed in our worship unto God.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 4, continues his series called The Book of Revelation. We now come to chapters 17 and 18, where the past and the future come together. Babylon, a place described in the book of Genesis, is where man's first attempt to overthrow God actually began. And that attempt increases dramatically during the Great Tribulation. You see, the road to Babylon has its beginning in idolatry, a road lined with every type of religious expression. From ancient times through the final days of the Tribulation, it's been a threat to true godly worship. The Babylonian system has shown up in every culture where it's not a question of, are you a worshiper, but who or what are you worshiping? So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there are things we need to guard against when worshiping. We must not confuse the holiness of God with man-made rituals or choose legalism and structure over the content of the worship. Now in his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Four things that we need to guard against when worshiping is we never want to legalize worship. You say, what do you mean by that, legalize worship? You mean like make it a law? Kind of. We never want to legalize it, meaning this. All right, church, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand on one foot. I want you to raise one hand. I want you to spin around. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. What I'm saying is that I would never want to be guilty of having a liturgical protocol to worship. That's not found in Scripture, anywhere in the Bible. And what I mean by that is there should not be any sort of regulation that dictates your worship. You see, my friend, worship is spontaneous. It is creative. Worship, by very nature, is your moment with God in such a way that it is just like your child. How many of you have kids? Raise your hand. I don't care if they're young or old. Raise your hands. There's nothing more precious than your child getting in your lap and saying something that just warms your heart to no end. Or in this modern day, getting text something on your phone from your kid saying, love you. You want to save it. You get a message from your kid out of nowhere. You might be busy with life and the message comes in on the phone. Or you get it in the mail and it just says, I was just thinking about you. Love you, Dad. What do you do with that as a parent? I know what you do with it. You save it. Like I have them in my Bible right here. I use them as bookmarkers. You save it. And the more spontaneous, okay, now hang on. You're going to find out in a second if you're real legalistic about worship. The more spontaneous your child is in expressing their love to you, the more it warms your heart. There's nothing more precious than when your five-year-old boy walks up with a lizard with three legs and he says, I got this for you, Dad, isn't it cool? He's expressing himself, Dad, this is for you. Or when your little daughter brings that mud that's mixed up in water with a daisy floating in it and says, Daddy, I made you coffee. That is precious. You don't say, honey, don't you understand this is mud? What's wrong with you? And this, it's a daisy. You don't do that. The more spontaneous, the more creative, the more blessed you are. Am I saying today, cool, pastor, does that mean, you know, I get up and run from one side of the sanctuary to the other? Not at all. That's insane right now. Right now, the Holy Spirit is instructing us by the teaching of the Word. There is a time to express yourself. Look, personally, for me, most of the time, call me nutty, but you know what? When I mow my lawn, I love mowing my lawn every week. That's my time with God in very unique ways. I'm all over my yard. I'm filthy, stinky, dirty. I've got mud everywhere. I'm fixing sprinkler heads that have been eaten up by the gardener. me trimming things. And you know what? My daughter said just recently, Dad, do you ever talk to your plants? Do you ever pray for them? Yeah. I do pray for my plants and the trees and stuff. Lord bless it. Cause it to look better than my name. I mean, cause it to look. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, look. Kill every gopher in the Lord, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's my time. You might say, well, my time is drive time. It's free. That's awesome. Drive time is a great time. Or whatever it might be. But are you a personal, private worshiper of God? Or have you legalized your worship? You've made it legal to the point where it's got to be this way. Watch out. The Bible warns us in the Old Testament that the children of Israel made worship this way, and it's got to be that way. God has made you and I the most creative things on the planet. And that creativity should be expressed in our worship unto God. And I don't know about you. Maybe it's true. If it's you, then it's you. This is how I think. There's times, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I just want to tell God I love him and thank him. And I'm appreciative of this or that or just for his nature. That I'll just say, God, Lord, oh, you know, you can't say it. There's nothing to say in English, French, or German. You can't say it. He's too wonderful. It's too grand. And you're just, Lord. Worship. See, if you're bound in legalism, you can't do that. If you're bound in a routine of your intercourse with God, and it's God, you know what, this place, God I can't thank him or praise him unless I'm at the church or I'm at the, you know, listen, my friend, wake up. God is alive. And we need to be careful that we do not legalize our worship. Number three, we never want to sterilize our worship. We never want to sterilize our worship. When I say sterilize, this is something that I think may be possible. We can sterilize worship when we confuse things and the order of service, perhaps, with the holiness and the glory of God. See, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, you know what? If I were probably more obedient to God, listen. Oh, you mean you're not? Well, let me share with you what I'm thinking. And you see if you want me to be more obedient to God. There are times when I think we should put all the worship up front before the Bible study. Because quite frankly, that's what I see in the scriptures. They came together, worshiped the Lord, and having worshiped the Lord, they studied the Word of God. The early church did that, you know. They worshiped the Lord, and then they got into the study. Flip-flop that as well. You say, well, that's the way they did it. That's the way I'm going to do it. They also found in history is that they studied the Word of God first and then broke out into worship. They came together with the Word of God open. Listen, Jesus taught them saying, or Jesus walked into town and gave them this teaching and gave them this illustration, and the people worshiped. You see? Oh, no, you better, Pastor. Now, come on. Don't get us all mixed up now, because if you teach before worship, then we're going to miss half the message because we get there, right? You see? Yes, Pastor, obey the Lord in that. There's only about 50 people who can say that. Because most people come in here, it's only worship. We'll get there right at the last song. According to Malachi, you are robbing God, and he will demand payment someday. Did you know that? It has nothing to do with this beautiful praise group singing for you. It has to do with them worshiping the Lord, and by them worshiping the Lord, they are to lead you into the presence of the Lord. It's all about him. It's all for him. Oh, I like when the choir is up there, and I like when those horns are up there, and I like when that guy's singing this or that guitar is being played that way, and oh, I like. It has nothing to do with you. It's the Lord. He loves it. He said, now, wait a minute, Jack. I thought the guitar and the drums and stuff, I thought all that stuff was for us, because would God even listen to a guitar? My friend, I encourage you, your homework for today is 1 Chronicles chapters 15 and 16. Why? You will see radical worship, man. The singers were singing and they were shouting to the Lord. Can you imagine that? Now, Pastor, don't get out of hand here. You have sterilized worship. You know what? It's got to be this way. Watch out. You're not growing up. You're growing older. Did you hear that? You're growing older. You're not growing up spiritually. If you grow up spiritually, you will become more like a child biblically. But if you grow old in your growing up, you begin to sterilize things. And it has to be cookie cutter worship. Now, to shake all that up, listen to this carefully. We want to never sterilize worship. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, this is radical. Two little verses, but an amazing, amazing story is told. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, listen to this. Then Solomon led the entire assembly of Israel to the hill at Gibeon, where God's tabernacle was located. Okay? This was the tabernacle that Moses, the Lord's servant, had constructed in the wilderness. You all know what I'm talking about? The tabernacle with badger skins, the Ark of the Covenant, remember? Was inside Indiana Jones, Steven Spielberg, Ark of the Covenant. Was inside this badger skin tent, remember? In the 40 years of wandering. Verse 4, listen to this. But David had already moved the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim to a special tent that he had made in Jerusalem. Did you know that? You say, what? I don't think I've ever read that before. You read it. You just ran over it too fast. Watch this. You have to watch because I can't articulate it correctly. Look, everybody, over here. Over here is the tabernacle of Moses. It's what they had in the 40 years of wilderness wanderings in the Sinai. Are you with me? And on the other side of Jordan. It was that fenced area where the priest, Aaron, the laver, ark, the seven lampstand, all that stuff was going on. Remember, and when God said move, they would pack it up and move with it, right? And they would pitch it again. Okay, that's in Chronicles, that's still in existence. Imagine that. In David's day, they could have touched the fence, they could have seen the very worship system that God had Moses create. Are you with me? That's over here on your left side of the sanctuary. On the right side of the sanctuary is the construction site of Solomon's temple. Are you with me now? You got that going on in your head? On the hill at Gibeon, the Old Testament dwelling place, Moses' tabernacle. On the other side, they're building Solomon's temple. Okay? In the middle, you've got this guy by the name of David. Anybody need instruction on King David? The psalm writer. What a man of God. I love this guy. So do you. It's funny. All the girls love David. And all the guys love David. You want to know why? David was a man's man. That's why today the women say, oh, I just love him. He's so great. When I read those psalms, there's not a woman born that can express herself like that guy could express himself. And then the guys look at the psalms and say, a chick must have wrote this. It's so fluffy and so, man, this guy's like really in touch with his feminine side. They would accuse David of. But then David would set down, he would set down his pen. Lord, and he writes this incredible thing, my heart pants after you, Lord, like the deer pants after the water brooks. And then he hears a rustling in the bushes. What's that? Whoosh! Wham! Whew! Man, a Philistine almost killed me. Next line, and Lord, you have been my defense in time of need. Amen! That's David. It's like all the guys go, yeah, what a guy! And all the girls are going, as my heart pants after water brooks. This is David. You got the Old Testament tabernacle that was in the wilderness with no ark in it. No Ark of the Covenant in it. You've got a temple of Solomon being built with nothing going on. David has the Ark of the Covenant in a little tent. He made his own little tabernacle near Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, and he's worshiping the Lord. The whole nation is all over there in the old system that's now been sterilized because of sin. They've departed from God. The new stuff's not built yet, so that's in waiting, in limbo. David says, you guys go do what you're going to do. I'm going to worship the Lord. And David pitches a little tent. You know what? Isn't that precious, don't you think? It doesn't take an Einstein to say, man, I ought to learn how to pitch a tent. I ought to establish my own form of worship with the Lord. Don't save your act of worship and your art of worship just for the sanctuary here together. Go home and do it. Walk along the beach, climb a mountain, go snow skiing, go surfing, take a drive, mow your lawn. What, worship Him and take a tent. And listen, you literally will be able to experience something that the ancients longed for. And that is, you could pitch your own little tent, as it were, of worship. It could even look like your car. And as you're seated there, be worshiping and praising the God of heaven and earth, who according to the Bible dwells in you now that you're a Christian. And you can have what the ancients longed for. The Bible says that when God moved into that temple, by the way, for the first time, and when God moved into that tent, remember, for the first time, that the glory of God so filled the presence over the Ark of the Covenant that the priest had to discontinue their working because God had entered in. And if God enters into your life and my life personally in a relationship with Jesus Christ based upon the Word of God, I enter into my rest. Why? Because the Lord is now resting in my life. The Lord has saved me upon His cross 2,000 years ago. I walk in forgiveness. I'm praising the Lord. I'm rejoicing. I don't have to go to a temple and sacrifice an animal. Oy vey. Are you going through your Bible reading this week? Huh? You going through the Bible with us every day? Have you had enough blood by now, huh? You say, well, Pastor, I was going to ask you about that after service. What's with all the blood? Every time somebody sinned. Okay, now go get a goat. Oh, brother, and you got to. And there's the blood of the innocent, and it's so sad. And oh, and then you walk down the street and you sin again. You got to buy it. You got to get a turtle dove and go back, and here you go. Can you imagine? Look, people, you want to have one, just one reason to worship? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was offered up once and for all for our sins. You know what that means? Did you blow it today? Get in the car. Come on, we're going to church. You know? Oh, sure. The guy with the Christian sticker cuts me off. So you come into the building. All right, let's worship. Do you know that in the Old Testament time, before Jesus had come, your hands would have been so covered in blood, having to make sacrifices to cover all that stuff. How'd you get anywhere? Can you imagine? You go to the temple and you sinned. You confess your sin upon the head of the animal, and then the priests sacrifice it, and the blood of that innocent animal, the innocent for the guilty, the just for the unjust, creating a pattern. All the blood. What's with all the blood for you to turn and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That I don't have to do that. Do you realize that if you and I lived 2,000 years ago, that we would be offering bloody sacrifices all the time? And just when you confess, Lord, this, and the animal's slaughtered, and you get 17, 18, 20 feet away, and you stub your toe on one of those sharp Israeli Jewish rocks that they grow there. Oh, Buddha. Oh, got to get an animal. Got to go back and make a sacrifice. How'd you ever get anywhere? Can you imagine? Our worship must never be sterile. Fourthly, it must never fossilize. Never fossilize. The psalmist writes, David, in Psalm 27, that we are to behold the beauty of the Lord. That we are to listen. In fact, listen to what he says. Is this not precious? This is that man. This is that man David and the warrior David. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Hey, David, what do you want? He didn't say, I want to win the lotto. He says, one thing have I desired. This is it. That I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Listen, it doesn't end there. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The cool thing about David, you know, if you know David, listen, everyone, David had a very born-again experience, relationship with God before John chapter 3 ever happened. So did Abraham. It's wonderful. All right, four of the next things, or number five, we're looking at things that are in the positive, things that we need to guarantee for regarding our worship. And there's going to be four more. It's this. We want to be specific about our worship. We want to be specific, or we would use the word holy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace and holiness. I'll explain that in a moment. Without which no one will see the Lord. Wow. What is this word holiness? Does that mean I have to wear a black suit and, you know, either shave off my hair or wear a bun all the time, no makeup or no cologne? Or what does that mean to be holy? To look like an Amish person? Is that holy? That's not holy. Church, by outward designation, you cannot determine anyone's holiness or the lack thereof. Did you know that? I beg to differ with you. I saw a streetwalker going down the street, and she looked like a streetwalker, and you're gonna tell me that she's holy? Well, in using the term holy, she's wholly dedicated to what she does, set apart, dedicated to. But wait a minute. Are you a contractor? Aren't you wholly dedicated to your contracting? Are you a housewife? Are you a house dad? Aren't you fully dedicated to that? Are you a parent? Are you, what are you? Whatever you are wholly dedicated to that thing. I got to tell you, I am wholly dedicated to being a pastor teacher of the Bible. Okay, I am wholly dedicated to being a dad to my kids and a husband to my wife. But listen, when it comes to the spiritual worship of God, don't think for a moment that somebody who may be sitting among us or even wearing a tie is now automatically, see, we judge people by appearance. We are automatically acceptable because I fit to your culture. Well, this is a Calvary Chapel. I see a few of us with ties on here today. But you know what? I would look right at home at maybe one of my friends' Baptist churches today or something like that. Listen, well, I go to Calvary. I wear flip-flops and a bathing suit to church. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Oh, you know what? I'm a Lutheran, and so I only wear a suit to church. Hey, that's fine. That's fine. Is that okay with you? Because you know what? It sure is okay with God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 4. We're so glad you joined us today. Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, if we are the church and the church is us, what does that mean when it comes to our personal relationship with Jesus? Many relationships fail when not enough time is spent with the one you love, and the same is true with our love for Jesus. One way to keep our relationship alive and well is to have some quality one-on-one devotion time with Him. It really can be a life-changing experience, and it's why Pastor Jack has included devotions at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a verse along with a personal story from Pastor Jack. It's a great way to spend some quality time with the Lord. So head on over to our website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one each week along with previous devotions for a daily experience. And if you're blessed by Pastor Jack's devotions, there's a link provided if you'd like to send an email. It's all right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.